Ah, the trout puts me in mind of one of my favorite books from a long time ago. Can I read to you for about a minute? See if somebody recognize this. This was very popular in the 60s. The creek was made narrow by little green trees that grew too close together. The creek was like 12,845 telephone booths in a row with high Victorian ceilings and all the doors taken off and all the backs of the booths knocked out. And sometimes when I went fishing there, I felt just like a telephone repairman, even though I didn't look like one. I only looked like a kid covered with fishing tackle. But in some strange way, by going in there and catching a few trout, I kept the telephones in service. I was an asset to society. Once I was in there and it started raining. It was dark and hot and steamy. I was, of course, on overtime. I had that going in my favor, and I caught 7 trout in 15 minutes. The trout in those telephone booths were good fellows. A lot of young cutthroat trout, about 6 to 9 inches long, perfect pan size for local calls. I've always liked the cutthroat trout. They put up a good fight running against the bottom and then broad jumping. Also in the creek were a few stubborn rainbow trout, seldom heard from, but there they were all the same, like certified public accountants. Anyone know what that is? Yeah, you do. It's close. It's not Kurt Vonnegut, but one of his friends is Richard Brautigan. You probably had it. Trout fishing in America. Sorry I took it away from you. That was so popular in the 60s and 70s. And I just was delighted to discover today there's a crater on the moon named Shorty in honor of Trout Fishing in America Shorty, the major character in the book. But lest we get that too far afield, there's also a crater on the moon named for Snoopy, just to put it in perspective. So string quartets the rest of the week, tonight, tomorrow, Friday. What a fantastic form, pretty much invented out of whole cloth by Franz Josef Haydn around 1780, and they all started piling on, the greatest composers, Mozart, then Beethoven, then Schubert, Schumann, Mendelssohn, Brahms, Tchaikovsky, Borodin, on and on, Sibelius, even Verdi wrote a string quartet. And my friends who play in the string quartet business are very fond of telling me that they have the greatest pieces by the greatest composers. I think it's written on every composer's, or every string quartet player's license plate, in fact. And in fact, the players themselves, the quartets that perform this music, have become very famous over the years, starting with Schuponzik, whose name we still honor because he was the man who had the quartet which gave us the first performance of Beethoven's quartets back in the 1810, 1820, all the way through the late quartets. And then, let's see, who else? Isai, the great Belgian violinist we heard earlier in this week, the Debussy quartet, that was written for Isai. When we get to the 20th century, the names are legendary. Budapest Quartet, Amadeus Quartet in America, Juilliard, Guarneri, Emerson, it goes on and on and on. But what's happening right now is the question. And to answer that question, we have the one right group, a quartet called Ethel. Let's meet the players. I'm going to go around the infield. Okay, you're the violist. Tell us your name and tell us a little bit about Ethel.
Ralph Farris. I'm from Boston. And a little bit about Ethel. We look like a string quartet, and it just about stops right there.
Okay, I like that.
I'm Mary Rowell. I'm one of the violinists of Ethel, and I'm from Craftsbury, Vermont. And a little more about Ethel. The name comes from a movie.
Hi, I'm Cornelius Dufalo. I'm also one of the violinists of Ethel. And to tell you a little bit more about Ethel, the name does come from a movie, and that movie happens to be Shakespeare in Love.
Ah, and it falls to me. So here down, I sit to the left of the violins. I'm the cellist. My name is Dorothy Lawson, and I come from Canada, from Toronto. And the punchline to that story about the Shakespeare in Love is that Shakespeare, in the movie, was desperately in need of money, and he had a commission he was finishing, but he was given a working title that he just couldn't connect with. It was Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter. And that inspired us, believe it or not.
Just looking at them, don't they look wonderful? I mean, you got a cello that looks like it's made out of shiny charcoal. What is that?
It's carbon fiber, you're right.
Carbon
it's a new
fiber.
Technology, and it works beautifully.
Yeah, yeah, and then insert, when you said your name,
yes,
I think I know somebody in your family, Richard Dufalo, a very famous and very great conductor of new music.
Yeah, that was my dad.
No
yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah.
You all know that name. He's gone about maybe 10 years or more now, isn't he? I'm afraid.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
But he was better than any American conductor I've ever seen or heard at conducting new music, so it's no surprised that you fall into that. All right, I think we've had enough talk. I want to hear you guys play. We have a wonderful composer who's with us named Julia Wolf. And I'm going to let you guys meet her afterwards because I want to hear these people play right now. So here's Ethel playing a piece by Virginia Wolf, or by Virginia Wolf, by Julia Wolf. It's a very Bloomsbury evening. I can't help it. Okay, it's a piece called Early That Summer, and I gather it was written around 1993. Here's Ethel playing Early That Summer. Wow, that's a knockout. Ethel playing music with Julie Wolf early that summer. Do you notice what I do? Each one of those players lost 2 pounds in that 11 minutes of playing. If you played that many 16th notes fortissimo for 11 minutes in a row, it's fantastic aerobic exercise. I want to get the woman who's responsible for this and see if she'd like to defend herself. Will you please welcome Julia Wolf? So great to see you.
Thank you. They're amazing.
They are truly amazing in every way. I mean, there's such a commitment to play that piece. They don't let down for a second. I love there's one spot in the first half of it where, from all this thing, it sort of settles down toward almost a octave and then a unison and then pops out again. And then that's one of my favorite spots because you create such tension there.
Yeah, it's interesting what, you know, keeps the tension at what times. I mean, it's for some reason everyone playing the same note and just, you know, playing it heavily together can be the most tense thing in the world. And sometimes just nonstop. Rhythms and bowing.
You're a Philadelphian too, I read.
Originally.
Where?
It's been a while.
Where
was born in the city, but I grew up in a very small town. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it, Montgomeryville.
I know exactly where it was.
You do? Okay.
I grew up in Philly, so I mean, it's not out of the question.
Sounds familiar.
But from there, you went, let me see if I get this straight. Michigan, Princeton, Yale.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing this up, when I was a kid studying music in Philadelphia, and kind of playing a lot of new music there, and then later when I was in St. Paul with the chamber orchestra, I was aware of a civil war going on, or at least that's the way it was told. In New York City, all the new music people were at each other's throats, and there was a group called the Columbia-Princeton Axis. Sounds like you may have been a card-carrying member, or at least I had some, you know.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no, I don't think I could get in the door there, but...
And the other thing was the downtown school, people like at the Kitchen.
Yeah.
Were wild. They played rock and roll, they played everything else that wasn't academic.
I probably... land somewhere in the middle of that. And this piece, for sure, I mean, somewhere between you know, Beethoven and Led Zeppelin. I mean, I don't know, you know, and they're not that different from each other when you think about certain aspects of the music. But you know, it's also just hearing these guys play it is something else.
It's
you know,
a
it's
knockout.
Just what they bring to it because their musicianship is so broad, and so they're not just playing, you know, as a string quartet. I mean, as Ralph said, we look like a string quartet, but this whole other performance practice and energy. I mean, I don't want to embarrass them, but when I first heard them play it, I literally had tears in my eyes.
Yeah, I could see.
It's just with the rhythm. I mean, they just get it and knock it out of the...
We thought you were upset.
Yeah, I know. I just said, no, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Moved by your tears. So.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking this is the better part of 20 years back that he wrote this piece. And in between, say, I guess it's about 12, 14 years ago, and you were a husband and Mr. Lang formed a remarkable ensemble, Bang on a Can. Has that changed your work at all?
You know, it's hard to say if it changed me or we changed it. It's just it's our home. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do a lot of different things with different ensembles all over the world really now, but it's home base no matter what. Have great ensembles like Ethel coming into play, and it's hard to say what it is right now. It's a multifaceted organization, but it's been a great, I would say, just a way of exchanging ideas with your peers who are sharing the same idealism and sharing the same inspirations. So,
well, thank you so much for this piece, and thanks for being
here
with us
tonight.
Thank you,
Ethel.
Yeah. And bravo to Ethel. Yeah, there's some other wonderful young groups, but there's only one Ethel.
There's only one Ethel.
That's for sure. Let's see what you guys are going to play next. This is a composer whom I don't know, except when I looked her up, it said she seems to be as much a dancer and theatrical person as a... Tell us who is, if I get the name right, Dohee Lee.
Dohee Lee is a fabulous composer from San Francisco, and you're right, she started out as a dancer and choreographer and got into music that way, also through traditional Korean percussion. But we are going to be performing this piece in its entirety.
Premiering
it in its entirety on Monday at Le Poisson Rouge, which is part of a wonderful series of concerts that is put on by the great organization Meet the Composer. This series is called Three City Dash, and they're presenting composers from three cities other than New York. And so our night is San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Now, Meet the Composer has commissioned this piece by Dohee Lee for us to premiere on Monday, April 11th. And it's a fascinating piece. It is called Honbibek San, The Ritual of White Mountain. And it is about, it has a story to it. It's about a shaman in a long, long, long time ago who was, I suppose, living near a mountain. And this shaman healed the spirits who had been driven away from the mountain. The shaman healed the spirits and brought them back to the mountain. And the excerpt that we're going to play for you now is the very end of the piece, which is when the spirits are healed and you see the glorious White Mountain in all of its beauty.
Can we? Now, in the opening piece that we heard, Julia's piece used nothing but the four of you.
Yeah.
But now we have something else.
Now we
Tell
do
us
have
what
something
that is.
Else. Yes, it's going to be, it's actually a recording of Dohee performing on traditional Korean percussion instruments. So it's a background track. Actually, several of the pieces we're going to be playing for you tonight have background tracks. So this is the first of those.
Okay. Neil, give us the title one more time because I'm afraid to take a crack at it.
Honbibak San, The Ritual of White Mountain.
Here's Ethel.
Thank you.
That's just a taste, sort of a pre-premiere. The rest of it will come on Monday at Poisson Rouge. Speaking of concerts this week, before you get to Poisson Rouge, which you definitely go to hear this concert, check us out tomorrow night. We have the Jack Quartet and then the Great Tokyo Quartet playing music, which I don't know whether you guys will like it. It's stuff like Haydn, Opus 77, and Beethoven. And you may recognize some of these composers that they're playing Friday night too, but tonight we're exploring the outer realms of what's going on right now, especially with, I was going to say American music, but these American kids are playing music from all over the world. It really is global. And the piece we just heard was the conclusion of a piece by the Korean composer Do-hee Lee, The Ritual of White Mountain. I found some lines from her. I'm still learning about her. She says, "I was born on Jeju Island in South Korea, where the shamanic tradition is still very strong, and I learned Korean dance, drumming, and percussion and vocals in the shamanic tradition. And now my art focuses on fusing these traditional forms with Western elements. I'm still shy about calling myself a composer, but the truth is I love to create music, dance, words, drawings. These are my life and they heal me. I heard about Ethel through their music and through musician friends for years, and I really respect their music because you can feel their passion, creativity, open minds, and spirits through this music. It's the most important thing and very beautiful." How did you come to meet her? Or have you yet?
Well, actually, you know, we found her on the internet. Really, we were doing research. we were doing research about composers from the Bay Area. We have a number of friends from the Bay Area, but we were trying to expand. And then once we did make a connection with her, we discovered that we had many, many friends in common. Hmm. So
it was. And there are samples of her work up online that are extremely exciting and beautiful. Hmm. Really interesting, yeah.
Dorothy.
Hi.
You're from Canada.
I am. Toronto, but haven't lived there for over 30 years now.
Yeah. Did your folks ever see you following this career path?
You know, they're thrilled about it, but no, it's been a really wide turn. I think I was in straight classical chamber music for about 20 years.
Your folks musicians?
My mother is a pianist, yes.
Yeah. Neil's father was a great conductor. How about the rest of you? Were you come from musical families, as we like to say?
Yeah. My dad was a choral conductor, and my mom's a choral conductor and an organist.
Where? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Boston area. They actually met at Trinity Church in Boston. My dad was singing for George Faxon, beautiful organist, and my mom heard his voice on the radio and said, "I got to go meet that guy."
And it worked. Here you are.
It worked, yeah.
Mary, what about you? What's your background? Where are you from?
I'm a farmer's daughter. And milk the cows, and the music was the roaring engines of the tractors going out in the field, and the suction machine of the milk.
So
that
where did
very sexy?
I can imagine it must have been something. Yeah. Where did these cows domicile? What part of the world?
In northern Vermont, in Craftsbury, and actually my parents met through music in a way. When my mother moved to this little town of Craftsbury from New York City, actually. She attended the local church, and my father's family was made up most of the choir in the church. And,
right.
And she joined the choir, and so it was through music. And he was the best looking guy.
How many of them were in the choir?
I don't know, 10.
And they were about at least six, from what
you're
saying.
And very, very unusual. When you go to small town churches, the choirs are usually, of course, volunteer and mostly women. But in the church I grew up in, it was mostly men. Hmm. It was very hard to get women to sing. So, kind of unusual.
I would like to talk more about that, but we've got so much music. No, I'm serious. So I read our next composer was actually born under the name Pamela Brooks in Buffalo, New York, but she lives in the Bay Area too, I guess. And she's known now as Pamela Z. And she wrote something called Dreams of Temporal Disturbances. What's that?
Actually, Ethel Dreams of Temporal Disturbances.
And so it is.
Yeah.
And wakes up with her head on the TiVo remote. Yeah.
This is very
spacey.
Yeah, a study in the glories of American television, you might say. Anybody out here have a TiVo?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one TiVo in the room. This is great.
Two.
This is a public radio crowd. We don't even have TVs, most of us.
We don't have TV either.
Oh, radio.
At home. Well, the TiVo is this device that I think is still being used that you... Ooh, somebody's got a phone call. You can record your television shows and such. And so what Pamela has done is actually quoted some of the sounds of the TiVo remote and it's playing throughout the entire piece. Along with that, so you've got the clicking sound, the fast forward sound, et cetera, et cetera. There's a little timpani sound that's supposed to be very well known to the TiVo user. But along with that, all these fascinating quotes. Neil says it so well that what's that thing you say about the half an hour?
Well, no, we just got back from Holland, and I was trying to explain this piece to Dutch audiences, and I was saying, you know, in America we watch a lot of TV, and we have these. You know, we have a lot of advertisements for pharmaceuticals, and I was explaining how sometimes I sit down to watch like a half-hour show, feeling pretty good, and then on comes a commercial saying there's something wrong. Maybe I have allergies, and but you know, the side effects can cause feelings of suicide and blah blah blah. And by the end of the half hour, I'm feeling pretty bad. I feel like I should talk to my doctor, you know. So, so you'll hear in excerpts of TV commercials in the piece.
Okay, I think we have the picture. So from Ms. Pamela Z. Ethel, Dreams of Temporal Disturbances.
You still have two remaining lifelines.
Go, let's go.
Your chosen charity. You'll need months of free donations. Bail is set at $5,000. They're die cut, so they easily pop by Jade and chosen charity.
Two remaining lifelines.
This program has been made possible by the generous donations of viewers like you.
Music by Pamela Z, Ethel Dreams of Temporal Disturbances. She provides a pretty explicit description of the experience. She said, Ethel would like to settle down and relax after a long day's work and watch something she's recorded, but she's so tired, she drifts off before she even makes it through the opening credits, sleeps fitfully, I'll skip ahead to the end, is puzzled by her dreams, they're being rewritten to please corporate sponsors. She becomes disoriented as time stretches, condenses, pauses, races forwards and backwards, and finally wakes up with her head on the TV or TiVo remote. Beautifully played.
Thank you.
How hard is that to stick with that tape? Or it's not a tape, everything's on a hard drive nowadays, but old-fashioned musicians like me still talk about tape. Do you have a click in your ears to help you to go with it? How's it accomplished? Tell us.
It takes quite a bit of rehearsal.
Yeah.
The click is actually not in time with the track, because remember when you heard, there's no business, you know, the Ethel Merman that I did not do very well just now, there's no business. Okay, anyway, Ethel Merman comes in, she's completely in her own world, as I guess Ethel Merman should be.
Yep. I'm old enough, I actually worked in back of Ethel Merman a few times, Miss Ethel Merman, by the way.
Miss Ethel Merman, sorry.
Yes.
My error. So she's coming in, she's doing her own thing, and we have to stay with the click, which is clanking on our right ear.
Do you understand this click thing? It's like a metronome click. Yeah. And you can set it so it's extremely like a metronome click, or you can mess with it. I guess that's what's been done here. Mm. Anyway, very, very interesting music.
Thank you.
And let's see, who's up next? Do we have another composer in the house? We had hope we might see the next composer. If he's not here, maybe he'll be in.
Huang Ro.
Huang Ro?
Did he make
here.
It?
Oh,
here.
Oh, yay! Yay!
Please come up and talk to us. Yes. I've been wanting to meet you. I know so much of your work. Actually, I have met you. ASCAP Awards. I remember you now, and I loved your music then.
Thank you.
Turn around and look at the audience.
Okay.
And tell us who you are and where you're from. You're from some island which has been claimed by a lot of people, but I gather it's in the South China Sea. Tell us about that island and right, all of your story.
It's called Hainan Island. It's below Hong Kong, and I was born there. The island was just as large as New Jersey, I should say. So mm-hmm. it's a province now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, yes.
Yeah, and your father is a very well-known Chinese classical composer.
Yeah. My father, he has taught me very little, but he could not deal with me, so he sent me to Shanghai, you know, like every other story. So yeah, I was be sent away when I was 12, and so.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You were born, I read, the year that the Cultural Revolution ended.
Yes.
So did that affect your family?
Well, my father, he was being sent away to countryside, so he was no longer teaching in the conservatory.
Right.
But after the Cultural Revolution, I was being able to move in with my mother and my father. So I left Hainan Island and go to Guangzhou to join him. So.
And you won a Henry Mancini scholarship or fellowship. Isn't that good? Hank Mancini, Pink Panther?
Yeah,
he, actually, his family is very good about that. There's a foundation which helps young composers. And right. Tell us about that.
Well, in 95, there was a festival in Switzerland. So they have a film and also music. And actually, I went to the festival. Was the first time I met Takemitsu, actually, 1 year before he passed away.
Oh, my God.
And so it was a great honor for me to meet him. But I was... Mm-hmm. Awarded with this Henry Mancini Fellowship there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you came to study first in Oberlin.
Right.
And then with Sam Adler at Juilliard.
Yes. And then I did my undergraduate at Oberlin. But before that, I was at California to study English at UCLA. So because I failed this TOEFL exam every time, and I really want to go to a college. So the irony is TOEFL in Chinese is tofu, means giving you happiness. So every time the happiness was not given to me, so I try every time. So anyway, so I finally got some happiness out of that.
And what will we hear now tonight? This is part of a larger piece, I gather.
Right. It's the second string quartet called the Flag Project, and I believe we're playing the second movement.
Mm-hmm. What should we think about? Or should you just want to say, hear it?
Say it again?
What should we think about? Do you want to...
Oh, what should we think
or,
about?
Or just should we just sit
maybe
there and
maybe nothing. Just
okay.
Forget about everything.
That's welcome enough. Okay, thank you very much for coming
thank
to talk
you.
With us. Let's hear thank this piece
you.
Now.
Yeah.
The Flag Project. What up? We have two composers with us today. We just heard music now from the Roll, the Flag Project, second movement. Bravo. Charming piece. For you folks at home who can see what was going on there, how are you making those magical, enchanted sounds? What, you can't, I mean, you can make some pretty amazing things with harmonics on stringed instruments, but this is another thing. Looks like, Neil, you're going to show us. What is that you have in your hand there?
This is a Tibetan prayer bell.
Uh-huh.
And in the first movement, we play it regularly mm-hmm. by hitting them together.
Yeah.
And in this movement, Huang Ro asks us to bow them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we move them like this.
Yeah, it gives that wonderful
to give it
going
a little,
in and out of phase yeah. oscillation. It's fantastic about it.
It's funny. It's very dangerous to play at a radio station, though, because at the sound check, we had some very worried engineers.
Yeah.
Thought it was feedback.
Not only that, I actually stopped a couple of dachshunds out on the Yeah, it's a magical sound. Funny, when I'd never seen anybody here play handbells or handbell choir. There may be more in the Midwest. I had never seen them before I got to the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, but there are a lot of church choirs that have, from kids to seniors, playing these beautiful, and it's just an enchanting sound, too. And they do the same thing. They'll strike us, and then have this sort of motion in the air that oscillates the sound. It's more of a vibrato than this sort of phase thing they get with these cymbals. Beautiful sound, and it's a lovely piece, young feller. I want to hear the rest of it. Let's see, where were you? Oh, we have one more piece. I just heard a little bit of this afternoon. Anna Klein, tell us about her.
Before we get to the
Oh, we have another?
We're going to play
it. Oh, Jacob TV.
Yeah,
wait a minute, I know his real name, Jacob Tervelhuis.
Ah, look at you.
Close.
Yeah. Well, he's a real composer. I mean, he's almost as old as I am. Now, tell us about Jacob TV. Where is he from? What's his story? What we're going to hear?
Jacob is from outside of Utrecht in Holland, and we just saw him last week. He's an incredibly sweet guy, and he focuses a good deal of his music on the art of speech music, which is capturing live recorded word, spoken word, and then manipulating it, either looping it or digitally enhancing it over and over, and then actually capturing the musical essence of that spoken word, and then putting additional live instruments to that spoken word. It's an incredible effect. This one is a little more of a vocal feature because this particular thing is a very special thing that he was on vacation in Syracuse, and Syracuse, New York. Sorry, not Syracuse, New York.
Syracuse,
exactly. And he heard outside his hotel room this incredible sound, and he was wondering what it was. And it turned out it was fishmongers chanting their wares. But he couldn't figure out what the heck they were saying. It turns out it was a very ancient language. It was a combination of old Italian, old Greek, and some Arabic. Mm-hmm. And nobody actually spoke this language anymore. And it was just absolutely stunning to him. So he had to run outside and record it. And then this became the bass samples to which he then created this piece. Dorothy has a beautiful thought of what she calls this.
It hit me while we were in Holland, of course, the land of many, many, many boats and waterways. It evokes somehow a kind of a sacred space. It was a little bit like a cathedral, and in a way, it's a kind of a benediction to the fishermen.
So. Okay, Syracuse blues.
Syracuse.
Thank you.
Music of the Dutch composer Jacob T.V., Syracuse Blues, creates a really interesting emotional state, doesn't it? Almost a meditative state. Reminds me in a funny kind of way of the late George Rochberg's later string quartets. It was a time after Rochberg lost his son to leukemia. The boy was about his early 20s, and he started to write music. He said he couldn't write any music at all. Then he started sitting at the piano, and what came up sounded like late Beethoven quartets or maybe even Mahler adagios, and he started to write this wonderful, slow-moving tonal music, which you are playing. And then the sound that comes from way before that, these ancient calls of these fishermen. Yeah. It's remarkable music. Yeah. Well, let's see. Now we finally come to the woman I was trying to introduce a few minutes ago. Anna Klein, who was born in London, went to Ontario for a while. She'd been in New York, I think, for 10 years or so. Tell us about her and tell us about this piece, which is called Roulette.
Well, Anna is a fantastic composer, a friend of ours, and an inspiring musician that we have been privileged to work with since 2007. I believe Anna studied with Julia.
Yeah. We started with the teacher.
So we started with the teacher, ending with the student.
This is Julia Wolf, who's worked with me at the beginning of the program and who's smiling like a proud mom in a way.
Anna is currently living in Chicago as one of the resident composers for the Chicago Symphony.
Yeah, Muti is nuts about her.
Yeah. And she's doing amazing stuff, and we are so happy because she just wrote us a new piece as well. So now we have commissioned two quartets by Anna.
Premiering it in May.
And we will be premiering it in May. But this piece is called Roulette, which was written in 2007, and it was premiered at the venue in New York called Roulette. And it's, what can I say about it? It's a haunting, mysterious, dramatic piece that also uses a background track.
I have a note on it.
Yeah.
This piece and Julia's piece will be released on Ethel's newest CD. Stay tuned for info on that. But it's done. It's in the can. Now we just have to edit and mix. So early that summer and Roulette. We're on the way.
Well, congratulations all around. Here's our final tune tonight. Music of Anna Klein, Roulette, played by this marvelous ensemble. Ethel, I think we should give them one more hand right now. Fantastic ensemble. Bravo, Ethel. Anna Klein.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is indeed a splendid cacophony that you make in that piece. Music of the young composer Anna Klein, Roulette, played by Ethel. So thanks so much for coming down and joining us. I'm looking out. The sun's long gone. It's misty today. You can see a little glint on the streets as the taxis pass by. It's a great place to be at night. Hear this beautiful. You've made it warmer just by being here. Thanks so much to all of you in the audience for coming. Come tomorrow. Jack Quartet playing Xenakis and just Wildwood, who knows what else. And anyone who likes free concerts, I mean third free and really fantastic, the Escher Quartet, marvelous young string quartet, is here Friday at noon. I heard them about 2 or 3 weeks ago playing Mozart and Ligeti, first quartet. They are spectacular. And they're also really good sports, which is proved by the fact that today, as a favor to us, they went up to Zabar's and stood in front of all the seafood and played. It is Trout Week. And I'm happy to say that a replica of that event is on our website, WQXR.org. You should check it out. Thank you so much to Cornelius DeFalo, Mary Rowell, our two violinists. Bravo, both. To our violist, Ralph Ferris. I'm so glad your folks met in that church choir in Boston. And to our marvelous cellist, who just sounds bodacious, Dorothy Lawson, playing on her spiffy carbon fiber cello. Spectacular. They make up Ethel. There's nobody in the world like Ethel. Thank you so much for coming to join us for this spectacular play. Just say to you, speaking of quartets, a show I do customarily, Exploring Music, is on. This is for people who like to stay really late. It's not on until 11 p.m., but we are doing Schubert quartets this week. Tonight's the night for Death and the Maiden, which also includes a marvelous recording, old recording I found of the great contralto Marian Anderson singing the song upon which the Variations is based. So that's Death and the Maiden tomorrow on Exploring Music. And meantime, let me not get out of here without thanking our wonderful friends at the Green Space, my man heading the sound back there, Ricardo Fernandez. Thank you so much. He's the in-house sound. Also Chase Culpung, Nicky Johnson, Eric Kamens, Indira Waru, and video by Whitehorse Video. You didn't see that. Well, you saw some of it around here, but you can watch it more online. It'll be about a day or two before we have it up on the website. Let's see who else. Oh, yeah. Out of Sight, but he's the man who's been bringing the sound that you're hearing at home tonight, is WQR's recording engineer, the legendary Edward Haber. Yeah. Celebrating his 29th year at WQXR and WNYC, and hit a sort of nefarious career at WBAI before that, but you'll have to talk to him off camera. And meanwhile, all right, our broadcast director is the marvelous Eileen Delahunty. She's been here almost as long. Thanks so much, Eileen, our executive producer who put all of this series together, Lamore Tomer. Stand up for a minute. I know the folks at home can't see it, but I just like looking at her. And I can't say that she's moving on to greener pastures, but she's just become the director of concerts at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is fantastic. But we're really sad. But congratulations anyway. Lamore Tomer. So join us tomorrow night for the Jack Quartet. And now I'll remind you that this is listener-supported classical 105.9 FM WQXR, located in New York and New York City. Thanks so much for joining us.